Is your business plan very unclear and you're tirelessly working at a low-paying career? Let's help you get out of the rut and let go of the fear. It's time to excel into the million-dollar stratosphere. Now, here's your host of The Balanced Millionaire, who will take you there, Eileen Mendel.
My name is Eileen Mendel, and I am your host of The Balanced Millionaire. I have today with me two very special guests. On my show, you will learn from industry experts on how to catapult your business as well as effectively get the financial resources that are available to help you with your business needs. Without further delay, let me share with you about our first guest, Mary Beth Dame. Dr. Mary Beth Dame, PhD, is an exceptional personal performance coach known worldwide for her pioneering work and expertise in the function and use of the human voice. She is a coach and consultant for leaders in the fields of business, as well as known coaches in theater, voice, and singing. As a former university professor of singing and anatomy, she helped establish a new standard for understanding the voice and how it works. And she has won numerous awards for her work and is a frequent guest lecturer and workshop leader. Her books on the voice are used worldwide in universities and colleges. Welcome, Mary Beth.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you here. So what got you started in your firm with your coaching?
Well, I had been involved in the university for a long time, and then I moved to London for various reasons. I had won a fellowship, and then I decided to leave the university and go back to London to live. And it became apparent that my skills were needed in business as well as the music world. So a friend of mine invited me to take part in a group endeavor where we worked with people on voice and presence and how they presented themselves. And we created a whole new sort of package for people who were giving presentations. So my work was mainly presence and voice. And it was interesting because along the way, I discovered that people weren't so interested in voice, but they were giving really lousy presentations. So I moved into the whole area of how you approach a presentation and what you do with it, and I sort of snuck in the voice part where I got a chance. That was my early beginning.
Well, that's great. How long ago was that you started the business?
Oh, my God. You're asking me a very ancient question. I started the business about 35 years ago.
Wow. And can you tell us a little bit about, you said you have written several books. Can you tell us what those titles are? What are the books, in case our listeners want to go ahead and buy those books from Amazon or other sources?
There are two books that would be most appropriate for this group is one called The Performer's Voice. It not only explains how important your alignment, your balance is to your voice, but it also, there's a whole section on presentation and presence and what constitutes the presence of a person. So that book, and then there's another one called Presence, Confidence, and Personal Power, which is directed toward communication skills, and it includes some of the areas that are in the other book as well.
Well, that sounds interesting. I think I want to go out and get some of those books myself. So Mary Beth, when you were starting your business up and currently, can you tell us what was one of the key challenges you faced in growing your business?
Well, I think it's a key challenge that everybody has in a sense, and that is getting to know the people that want your product. And it's taken quite a while, and I've started over again recently. So just getting to know the California market after living in Europe for a long time. And so it's the people that sometimes you think want your product aren't the ones that do. And people that are totally surprising go, oh yeah, I really need that. But I've narrowed it down recently to women, partly because I hear a lot of women who sound like young girls, and they do not make an impression on the market when they sound that way. So that's kind of a convoluted journey, but that's how I find people now. And I look in, been going to networking meetings and different aspects of those, and I just find women by accident who sound like this, and they need to sound a lot more, you know, with a lot more depth and gravitas, so that they are accepted for the power and their formidable business skills that they have.
Can you give me an actual example where you worked with a woman who then was able to perhaps give a command a room and give presentation to whatever, whether it was her colleagues or in a public conference? Can you tell me a story about that with your own experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This was one that happened in London, actually. It was a woman who was head of a big division in the government, and she had hired me to come in and work with some of her people. And I did, and they did very well. And then one day I get a call, and it's her. And she said, they're saying they can't hear me. And I said, and she's a very powerful woman, powerful physically, powerful in lots of different ways. So I said, okay. So I came in and started to talk to her. And we were sitting across a fairly narrow table. And indeed, she was very quiet. So I thought, okay, she doesn't need how to make her voice bigger. She needs something else. So I asked the question. I said, tell me something. How far from you is your space? And that's a weird question, but people know how to answer it. And she said, she indicated about a foot from her face. And I said, okay, that is as far as your voice is going. Because if you perceive that you're blocking something or blocking out your audience, your voice stops at the place that you've blocked. And so I said to her then, okay, what will happen if we put a little window in here? Oh, I couldn't do that. I didn't realize how critical this was to her. So it took me, to make a long story short, it took me about a half hour for us to make a window and then a door. And then finally we got the wall removed, and she never looked back. So you go in thinking you're going to work with a voice, do voice exercises, give her more power. And her power was a block. So that's the story.
And you found that out by asking her what her space was.
Yeah, because I work a lot with the amount of space a person perceives when they speak. If you perceive your space to be between you and the microphone, you're not going to go anywhere. You can't just count on the microphone to take your voice. It will expand what you put into it. But on the other hand, if you perceive your space to be the entire room, front, back, sides, tops, and bottom, then your voice will get bigger. And it's one of the things I tell people who've been given a very old-fashioned order when they say, project your voice. Project your voice is 18th century voice talk. And what happens when people do that is this, okay? It doesn't give your best voice. On the other hand, if you expand to fill a room or an entire space, you get something more like this. So you choose this or this.
Can I ask you something? In speaking, and I noticed this for myself, but also from comments from other people who are speaking, mm-hmm. that to give a presentation to a large audience takes a lot of energy. Is that a fallacy, or is it just that they're not using their energy appropriately?
I think it's the latter. I think if you can use a lot of energy, but that costs you in the long run. The energy is in the planning. It's in how you perceive what you're doing, and it's in your relationship to the audience. If the audience is very large, first of all, you are going to have a microphone. If you aren't, then you need Greek theater or Shakespearean old-fashioned theater training to be able to use your voice in that circumstances. But today's digital world, you're going to have a microphone. But you have to perceive your space to include all of that audience, even if it's 10,000 people. So they're all in your home for that event.
Now, you teach both singers as well as speakers. What's the difference?
There are a lot of differences. And on the other hand, it's the same. The principles of how you use your voice are the same. Singers are used to performing, so they are much more aware on stage. They have more experience of being with audiences, whether it's a cabaret or whether it's a formal classical audience. But a speaker hasn't had that, and speakers are full of old perceptions. And the biggest issue with speakers is they don't prepare. No singer would ever walk out on a stage unprepared. And I've told CEOs of companies who sit down, write out their speech, they haven't heard it, they've only written it out, they've done it in their heads, and they go out to speak and they wonder why they're nervous. And the equivalent of that for a singer would be for me to decide to sing a concert and all the words are in my head, but I've never sung one of the songs before going out on stage. And no wonder they're scared to death. I mean, that's the worst nightmare of a performer. And yet speakers go out and do it day after day after day. And then they promote the idea that speaking is worse than death. And you hear that all the time. And that, I'm sorry, it isn't. It's easier than that.
So as far as rehearsing, what are your recommendations then for a speaker that maybe doesn't have, you know, a speech, a canned speech or a speech already practiced as something brand new? How much effort and how much time should they be putting into getting it right?
Okay, first of all, you give up the idea of giving it right because it's going to be different every time. And that's okay. It never has to be exact. God does not give presentations. And we tend to think that he does or she does. The first thing that you do is what any sports, good sports trainer would teach you. And that is set an intent. What's your intent for that talk? And that can be a fact, or it could be I want to be trusted as a result of what I say to this audience. So it can be something tangible or not tangible. That's the first thing. The second is visualize yourself being there, being comfortable, enjoying the audience. Your brain does not know the difference between your imagination and reality. So you set up your talk mentally before you actually even start working on the words. So preparation means that to me. If you don't start with that, you haven't prepared. So preparing that, then having a chat with people, talking about your ideas, trying them out. Doesn't matter whether they agree or disagree. Just hearing yourself say some of the things that you plan to say, because you'll change along the way. And I would say one thing, if you don't do anything else, your introduction is about the audience getting to know you and wanting to know more. It is not about giving them a grocery list of what you're doing and what you're going to say. That is, again, another, it's to me, 18th century idea that bores the pants off of an audience. And the last thing an audience needs is to be bored.
Do you think in this day and age, with people having less attention spans, that it is more and more critical to rehearse and to connect with that audience?
I think it's important to rehearse. It's certainly, as I said, discuss your ideas with people, rehearse the really important parts, and get used to seeing yourself in a larger space. And the other aspect of, I've forgotten what I was about to say. What, say your question to me again.
Well, is it so important to connect with the audience and do that, you know, because now people have less attention span than ever before.
Right. That was the one. It was the attention span.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things that's really important to an audience is to include them in some way. And that can be in the form of a question. I remember walking out to an audience of about 800 people, and the topic was fairly new to me. But the way I brought the audience in was to walk out, and my introduction was this. When I was asked to give this talk, three things came to mind about the topic. And I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor and say to them, what would you say about this topic? Now, they hadn't heard anything yet. So they talked for a minute. I gave them a minute. They talked, and then they quieted down. Then they were ready to hear what I had to say, what I thought about that topic. So you can do things that cause some kind of interaction with the group or with people sitting around just very quickly. It doesn't have to take up much of your talk. It gets them thinking rather than sitting there waiting to be entertained.
Well, that's excellent advice, and I will definitely use that in my talks. And as far as connecting, is that something then they should do in the very beginning of their talk, like ask a question, or where should they place that question or that interaction?
It can be at the very beginning. It can be at the end of the introduction. It can be at the beginning of a section, a new section of your talk. It can be anywhere. It doesn't really matter. There are no rules.
So if you were to give a talk yourself, how then would you structure that talk? Would you, like you said, connect with the audience, give some introduction, you know, tell me how you would do it.
Well, if I'm, my typical structure would be a very loose one, but the first section or introduction can be a story, but not a story that's just a story, one that applies. It can be a scenario that fits that company or that situation, something that happened there. And it can be even something you read about in the newspaper that fit that company. And that's one thing I always advise speakers to do. If you're speaking for a group or a company, you need to know about that group. And that can be something you include in your introduction. And so make them know you. Help them know you better, but also honor what they are, who they are, and what they've done and what they've accomplished or what happens in their company. There's no set thing, but there are a zillion things you can use in an introduction. So that's, or, you know, why am I here? What's the story that brought me to you? So a story, and that's very popular in presentation skills today, is telling stories. But make sure they fit, and not too long. They don't need to sit there forever listening to a long narrative. Then the second section is the meat of your talk. What are the main facts? What are the main things that you want to get across? And I lump them under concepts, and I'll never forget working with engineers who only knew details. They did not know how to build concepts. It was very funny. So we had to work very hard at that. But what two or three main concepts are there for your talk? And I don't mind whether the talk's 30 minutes or an hour. You don't need 10 concepts. Because my question to any speaker is, if you stand at the door when your audience leaves, what, and ask them what they remember, what are you hoping they will take away from your talk? And if you've given them 10 things, I can tell you they will not take away 10 things. They're, as you said, our attention spans are short. We're not used to that. So, and the more entertaining you can be, and I don't mean in a false way, but you can introduce cartoons. You know, the calm man sitting there calmly and the other guy tearing his hair out. You know, if you were talking about stress or stress management or things like that, you can introduce visual elements that are fun, not just serious. Just to throw in visual elements doesn't do it. So the main body of the talk, to me, has three, maybe four main concepts, and then whatever facts or data, how do you substantiate that? And you can substantiate it again in stories that they will remember. And then the last part of your talk is a time sometimes to appeal to the emotions. You know, when people don't do this, this is what happens. Or when they use this system, you've got a happy group of, you know, staff or whatever you want to do with that. So that's sort of my three sections of a talk that I use.
Well, that's fascinating. And I think those are critical. All of those sections are very critical to, like you said, grabbing their attention and keeping the flow of the talk.
Absolutely.
So when you were building your business, I just want to go back to your business. What were some of the turning points where you made some discoveries about what to do to get your business to grow to the next level? Because you've been doing this for 35 years.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not been a straight line, that's for sure. It's had lots of dips and lots of ups and lots of downs. Some of the downs were due to political and financial circumstances, like year 2000, 2009, things like that. And once you have a reputation with, say, a big company, and I did, then I was brought in as a consultant to their executives and to their people. So the turning point for me was working with one man who was just at the bottom rung of a managerial position. And he worked with me. And then every time he got promoted, he brought his team to work with me. And that went on until he became president of the European section of his company. So that was the thing that was a turning point for me, because I was never anything other than an outside consultant for the business. So and that was key. It was not like I met the president and then I got a lot of work. I met the lowest manager, and it crept up from there over the years. And then, of course, word of mouth. For me, word of mouth has been the most important thing, more than any of the networking, more than any of the sort of busy things that I do to tell myself I'm getting more work. But it's word of mouth for me.
And it sounds like from the story that you just told that this low-level manager was able to improve his communication skills.
Yeah.
And that alone, you know, because I'm sure there's some other skill sets or whatever that he was trained in his business, but it seems like consistently by continuing to work with you and have his colleagues and his team work with you, communication was much better. So would you say that in a company that they should look at when they're putting teams together to have someone like you come in, do some workshops on the best kind of communication with each other? Because sometimes I've been in many companies before I, you know, was entrepreneurial. I've been in several companies. And there's also a competitiveness of some people wanting to dominate the group. Mm-hmm. And they may have some great ideas, but then there's some people who can't speak up. And maybe they have some great ideas too, but somebody else is dominating and trying to be becoming more influential, but you want to get equal cooperation with all the members of the team.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me more about that, getting into those kinds of situations. And you gave one example of how do you get people to cooperate, you know, where one, you know, maybe one person wants to be more dominant than the other. How do you do that?
I have a little group exercise. I haven't used it in a long time, but it was so it made everything really obvious. I put my seminars, say there were 20 or 30 people in there. I put at least 5 people in a group, and I had these little pieces of paper with a role that they were going to play for the group. One role would be, I perceive myself to be in charge, so I'm going to run the group. One role was something like, I'm going on holiday tomorrow and I could care less. Another might be, I'm the one who wants to make sure everything is right, so I'm going to question everything and repeat. And I can't remember some of the others, but it was typical of what we have in meetings, because I used to have a thing about meetings and how nothing got done. And then they were given a task, like, want you to decide something. And they had to solve this task with the roles that they had, and they were not allowed to tell anybody what the role was. So it became apparent when these people had been speaking 5 minutes that they weren't going to be able to decide anything. And everybody was going, they were really angry at their colleagues because nothing was happening and they couldn't make a decision because they needed to solve this problem. So after about 5 or 10 minutes, I would stop it and I'd say, just out of curiosity, I'd like for you to go around without telling anybody what your role was and tell the other people what you thought of them playing that role. And they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to say that. But the upshot was they really realized how important it was to be fully there, to be present and not be thinking they needed to do this or assuming anything. And it just, it was a funny little exercise, but it made a huge impact.
And I'll bet there was a sense of frustration, like you said.
Total.
Yeah, anger, frustration. It's like, let's move on. But then they said, nope, we haven't dealt with this topic yet.
And
it was just, it ended up in no decision at all.
No decision.
And I've seen this happen inside companies. And I've seen it happen also in community groups where it just goes in circles and nothing gets done.
Yeah, I had a music department like that. Yeah.
So you could come into these organizations and help them manage their communication within their team so that progress is being made.
And it's bigger than that, more than teamwork, because there are a lot of people who do teamwork. To me, it's bigger than that because there's some simple rules of communication that we can learn at the lowest level of the business so that it doesn't become a problem when they're being promoted to executive. And one is how to listen. Two is how to accept what somebody says without taking it personally or without blaming. And to help someone to be able to say what they want to say without assigning blame to something. And these are simple communication things that we teach kids that aren't taught. So the first level of business is getting people to understand how to be that way so that the business runs more smoothly. And each person is honored for who they are and what they do. So that, to me, it's simple.
I know that businesses, the management or the people in the team sometimes make it more complicated than what it is. Mm-hmm. So Mary Beth, if people want to get some more training on this and get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Mm-hmm. There are two ways they can do that. One is info@marybethdame.com, and be sure it's spelled MeriBethDame.com. The other, if you want a simple one, it's mdame@gmail.com. And I'm happy to talk with anyone who wants to discuss this. If they want to give me a text message on my phone, I can give you my phone. It's 760-908-8285. And I'd be happy to find out how I might be of service to you in what's happening with you personally or your company.
So, Mary Beth, what is the most important thing and message that you would like to share with our community of business owners and entrepreneurs today?
I think it's that each person that works in a company or in any place gives equally. It has nothing to do with salary. It has nothing to do with rank. It has to do with each person has a job to do, and all of them need to be honored. And not only do the jobs need to be honored, but the communication needs to be taught and understood. I worked in so many companies that told me that their first priority was communication skills. But when it came to buying courses or creating courses for their people, communication skills was on the bottom of the list. It was more, oh, they need the technical knowledge. They need this. And yes, there's this day and age, we need a lot of technical knowledge, but we need communication skills always and forever. It makes a different workplace.
And I just wanted to add, I heard recently from somebody who was doing, from this country, doing international business over in Japan, and he would go and give lectures to the Japanese engineers, and they always nodded their head like they understood, but then when he traveled back to the headquarters, you know, to the United States, he found out they didn't, it wasn't clear, they didn't get the message. Mm-hmm. So he didn't realize that the language that he was using with the teams in the U.S. would not be the same language you would use internationally, because those engineers spoke, would interpret things differently than we would here in the U.S.
I think it's more than that, and I think it's easier than that. I think simplicity is the key to everything. And if you want to use a lot of jargon to impress somebody, I'm sorry, you're going to have a whole lot of people don't understand what you're saying, even in your own business. You can say the word bridge to 30 engineers and say what word comes up and get 30 different words. And you're working through people's perceptions. So one of the things that I learned living abroad was to speak as simply as possible and not use jargon. And I think that's true whether you're talking to engineers in Japan or engineers in America.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. That's really valuable information. So I really enjoyed having you as our guest today, Mary Beth.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
You're welcome. And everyone, I would like to, I hope you enjoyed this segment. I'd like to go to a quick break so you can hear a word from our sponsor. And you won't want to miss our next guest. So hang on. We'll be right back.
Former highly paid corporate insider and expert in scaling businesses for over 3 decades, Eileen Mindell is a serial entrepreneur, business consultant, renowned speaker, and author. Tune into The Balanced Millionaire on bbsradio.com weekly on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to learn the secrets to working fewer hours and achieving financial breakthroughs, increased revenue, and prosperity while maintaining personal and professional balance and harmony. You can also hear us on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and Spotify. To schedule a private consultation about your business, call or text 760-450-6133 or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com. 760-450-6133 or visit InnerEdgeInternational.com.
And become essentially germ-free? Scalar Light serves to break apart the molecular bonds of viruses, bacteria, fungi, and parasites in your body. Only a photograph of a person is needed in order to be treated with Scalar Light and eradicate germs from your body. Visit the website
freescalar.net
and upload your photograph as well as the photographs of your family. Everyone will receive 15 days of free Scalar Light treatments, and your germs will be eradicated by this painless and simple Scalar Light process. People from around the world have experienced the benefits of Scalar Light healing, and the testimonies prove just how effective this groundbreaking treatment really is. Visit
freescalar.net
to get started, or call our support desk at 1-800-345-9851 for additional information. That's
freescalar.net.
Or toll free, 1-800-345-9851.
This is Eileen Mendel from The Balanced Millionaire. We're back from our break, and I have our second guest with us. Her name is Dr. Janine Kennedy, and Janine has earned a BS as a registered nurse and has a board-certified naturopathic doctorate degree. She is also a bio-residence and alternative therapy expert. Janine has worked in prevention health since 1980. When she helped design, implement, and lead wellness programs at her university. This culminated in the university's first wellness retreat center in 1986, where people traveled across the globe in search of better health. Over 30 years later, Janine continuously strives to help people understand holistic health and become proactive in taking charge of their own healing and wellness. She uses her unique knowledge to bring help to thousands of people. Today, she is the leading professional behind the BioScan Pro, which we'll hear more about today. Dr. Janine has over 16 years' experience in biofeedback alone, and she utilizes the BioScan Pro almost every day for herself, her family, and her clients. Welcome, Janine. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So, Janine, when did you start your firm?
My business, or why did I start my journey in naturopathic health?
Yes, tell us more why you did this, why you started your practice in this BioScan Pro and what you're doing today.
Well, as with most people who go into something because they have a personal interest in it, and I had had health challenges since I was 5 years old, continually going to doctors, emergency rooms, having mystery illnesses, no one knowing what's wrong. So I continued to be plagued with those illnesses until college, when I wasn't functionable and ended up in bed, I would crawl to the bathroom and unable to do anything, and no one really knew what the answer was. So in the midst of that, I had a teacher at the university I was at who became a wonderful mentor to me, who understood naturopathic health at a deep level and had always had a vision. And this is way back in the 1980s. Actually, it was 1970s then. She always had a vision to have a wellness retreat center herself. And she mentored me and started to teach me a different path other than what I had known previously, and even in the registered nurse program that I was currently in.
So along the way, can you tell us a little bit more about when you started your business and the history of where you are today? Tell us a little bit more about that, how you grew your business and how you were able to overcome some of the challenges that you've faced in growing your practice.
Okay, well, way back in the 1980s, it wasn't nearly as accepted as it is now. And I had a family, so I actually had my own business as a registered nurse. I used to take over in hospitals when I had my own agency, and I was the agency. So I would work in ICU, CCU, NICU, community health, the psychiatric ward, oncology. So I saw a lot and learned a lot about what our system did with people that had health challenges. And I continued to meet people who did things differently and continued to be interested. And there's got to be a better answer than what I'm seeing in the medical field today. So I continued to study and learn and do things naturopathically myself until I came across a machine, which was a frequency machine, that had great promise of showing where the major stress is in the body and being able to more quickly help resolve the issue. But at the same time I came across that machine, one of the first machines in the United States of the nonlinear systems, and that was in 2004-2005. So previous to that, I had worked at a lot of naturopathic health clinics, and I had helped people naturopathically, but the machine took me to a different level where I could help people quicker because it would restore the energy immediately in the cells and help resolve issues faster than I could with nutrients and nutrition alone. So that was the beginning of my journey into biofeedback machines, and I've seen just about every one of them in the U.S. since then and have worked with many different ones, which culminated in the one that I have now called the BioScan Pro. And that's what I use in my practice, along with teaching people at a deeper level how to understand health. Now, the same time I came across that machine, I also was miraculously blessed with a mentor. And that mentor took me to a whole new level. And I should say, I took a quantum leap when I met him because he helped me to understand health in a way that no one else in my life ever had, including the naturopathic school I had been attending. I had to unlearn a lot of things I thought were true as a naturopath in order to learn how to really help people. My mentor, Dr. Bill, is a scientist and researcher. He's 70 years old, and he has studied health and really sacrificed his life to help people understand health and make his own formulas since he was 20 when he started, and he's 70 now. So the combination of his mentorship and the frequency machine that I use enabled me to help people that no one else could help.
So tell me a little bit about how the whole process works when you meet your client, your patient, and how you work with the bioscan as well as with the nutritional aspects of their healing.
So, give you an example. My practice was in Michigan for a long time, and I have never advertised. I was always busy, and I made a decision to move to Texas for education for my son, a school that I wanted him to go to. And I moved there knowing nobody, and I don't advertise, so I'm going to start a business. And what I do is I look for someone no one else can help. Well, if I can find someone that everyone's given up on and help them, that's how I advertise. And I met a woman with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease that had about 4 months left to live. She couldn't get from the couch to the other side of the room without a walker and wheelchair and huffing and puffing, and was planning her funeral. Had actually asked the elder in the church to plan to give her funeral already. So she came to see me, and I used the biofeedback machine, and it's simply a set of earphones that you put on your head. The earphones have a trigger sensor, and that trigger sensor is connected to the software. So the trigger sensor can read the frequencies from your cerebral cortex, because we understand it's our brain that tells our body what to do. If I hit someone's foot with a hammer, the brain says I need to send the cells to replace, to heal the foot. But most cellular regeneration doesn't happen until you're sleeping at night, at least the majority of it does. So this can bypass that. It can say, can pick up the signal from the brain that says my foot's been hurt, and then send the precise frequency to the foot to heal the foot, and the foot starts feeling better right away. So, or the person that I saw a couple weeks ago with asthma, they're having an asthma attack and they're gasping for air. Well, let's send the signal to the lungs. But I put the headset on them. It picks up the frequency. The lungs aren't working well. And so I send the precise frequency to the lungs that the lungs need to work properly. And in 7 minutes, the person's breathing normally because it has the right instructions. So I can put the headset on someone and ask, well, you know, I'd like to know what energetically, what frequencies are being picked up in the body that are causing problems. So where's the energy good and where's the energy bad? Because I'm very careful. Legally, we are allowed to work with energy. And that's it. So energetically, I'm picking up where the root stress is. And the software has thousands and thousands and thousands of frequencies embedded in the software for your sex, your age, and pathogens, microorganisms, and other things. So it can ask the body, what frequency am I picking up? Is this the frequency for bacteria? Is this the frequency of a virus? So I am not diagnosing, and I tell everyone they need to see their medical doctor. This is not a diagnosis, but we're simply picking up the energy. We're reading the frequency. If you don't understand frequencies, you think about the opera singer hits a certain note and the glass breaks. That's a frequency. Or the person that likes to fish puts a rod in the ground, and the worms respond to that. They answer, and so they come up to the top of the soil. That's a frequency. So everything in the world is energy. Everything has a frequency. And the frequencies are different. If someone walks in the room who's a very angry person, they don't have to say a word. You can feel that frequency. Or the contrast, if someone who is just a very loving, gentle spirit walks in, you feel that. You feel their presence because there's a frequency around them. So we can ask the body, you know, what frequencies am I finding that are good and strong, healthy? What frequencies am I finding that are causing problems? And then we can say, well, send the right instructions. Let's send the precise frequency to those lungs or the back or the foot or the intestine. Let's send the right instructions so that the area works right. Now, a lot of people are so what's the word for it? They're so blown away by the difference it can make with energy alone that they forget the core of the body. Our cells are made from nutrients and energy, not just energy. So they use this machine like a drug. They feel better. And, I mean, it can, if there's a problem, I have a friend that hurt her knee playing basketball, and it resolved the problem simply by sending the right energy. So though there are some problems that are resolved immediately, long term, you need nutrients because the cells are made from both nutrients and energy. So the energy will grab the circulating nutrients in the body and send them to the cell to repair the cell. So if you're a person that's nutrient poor, you're going to rob Peter to pay Paul, and you're going to end up in trouble down the road. So I have many people that buy these machines, and a year later they call me, you know, what's the problem? You know, I resolved this, this, and this, but I'm not feeling so good because they're simply using energy to heal their body without available nutrients. And the whole nutrient world is another story that Dr. Bill also took me to a new level. I help many naturopaths and alternative doctors, when they're sick, understand nutrients at a different level. And that's how I help people. Would you like me to explain that?
Can you explain how the nutrients, I know you work with a defined line of nutrients, how that is better than what I could buy off the shelf at one of the organic stores, such as Whole Foods?
Sure. Well, it's like I was with my mentor, Dr. Bill, in the office of one of the number one homeopaths, I think, in the world, very successful, helped a lot of people there in your area in California. And a friend of hers who also was a naturopath was there. And they were both sick. And they didn't understand why they were sick when they helped so many people. And Dr. Bill, who was just so careful and so good about preserving integrity and value, you know, asked permission to explain to them what and the nutrients they used to help other people. And he picked it up, and it really was a pretty good nutrient. The person that made those nutrients was really intelligent and bright. Dr. Bill loved listening to him. He said he thinks a lot like I do. But then you go a little bit farther. You help people with these nutrients because some of the ingredients in them are good. Like if B12 is broken down to methylcobalamin and folic acid is methylfoliated, and most people know that today. If those two aren't broken down, why even look at the vitamin? Because we know they have to be broken down. But what most people don't realize is, well, then stuff in and other nutrients that research says are good, but they're not broken down. So if you don't break down every piece and you have a problem with your digestive system, or so many people in the world today, and everybody at some level has methylation problems, you know, their liver can't break things down right. So those very nutrients that you think are helping you are actually clogging your they don't get in the cell, so they go back to the liver and clog the liver and cause problems. So these two practitioners, the very nutrients they were taking to help other people, short-term help. But long-term, the pieces of them that aren't broken down are going to clog the liver and cause problems. So when you look at a supplement, if the supplement has additional ingredients, you have to ask yourself why. You know, stearates are poison, but they say a little bit won't hurt us. Well, we have enough poison in the world today. Why do we want to add extra poison? Or they say cellulose, that doesn't hurt us. Well, that's sand. So, yes, it doesn't hurt us, but it's foreign to our body. So it stresses our immune system. It's one more thing the immune system has to work with, and our immune systems are already overburdened. So because it's foreign, this just adds another stressor to the body. Or people say, well, I just use rice fillers. I have really good pure nutrients. We only use rice. Well, why? Why do you want rice? Why do you want to pay money for rice? You shouldn't even eat rice. It's a moldy grain and it's carbohydrate. You don't really need to eat it. I'm not saying not to eat it, and I'm not saying I never eat it, but I'm saying why do we want it in our supplement? Well, they use it so it doesn't cake. Well, who cares if the vitamin cakes, as long as it isn't moldy and it's good and it's pure? Plus, it's a filler, so you make more money on the supplement. But Dr. Bill uses zero additional ingredients. In addition to that, the ingredients he uses are all broken down to the very lowest level. It's more than B12, which should be broken down to methylcobalate. The B6 is pyridoxal 5-phosphate. The folic acid, methylfoliated, everything, every piece. If you have a vitamin with selenium, and we know we all need selenium, but it says selenite, well, they just basically take it from the rock. You have to break selenium down enough and attach it to an amino acid in order to get it in the cell. So to help you understand that, what I teach people when they come to me, most important, we have trillions of cells that regenerate every 7 to 8 years. We know that. This is eighth grade biology. Our body regenerates. We learn in eighth grade that cells have twins. So in the morning, when you get up, approximately 40 billion cells are going to divide, and each cell is going to have two cells. So you have 40 billion cells that become 80 billion cells. So if you understand the secret of how to regenerate healthy cells, you can live disease-free for a long time and not die of disease, but die of old age instead, or die at the time you're supposed to die, not end up with a stroke or a heart attack or cancer or an aneurysm, but you have to understand how to keep yourself healthy. And it starts when you go to bed at night. Digestion gets priority in the body. We know that. if you get hit by a truck, your food will still digest. Every nutrient you have available will go to digest food. So if you're going to bed with food in your gut, it's going to rot, it's going to ferment, it's going to feed all the bad bacteria and parasites. And I learned that at the holistic nursing school I went to, but Dr. Bill took me a step farther. It's more than that. Not only will it rot and ferment and feed the bad guys, because we all have bad bacteria and good bacteria, but it will rob all your nutrients. So all your nutrients all night long will be going to try to digest food, and it's nighttime that most of the cells regenerate. You have, and different scientists disagree about the exact number, but approximately 40 billion cells going around in your body, in your bloodstream, and those cells are looking for their nutrients. When we eat food, we eat carbohydrates, fats, and protein for energy, but that the cells don't use any of that. The cells need mainly amino acids and minerals, and they have a layer of fat around them. So, but not just any amino acids. Those mother cells go around, they stick up a hormone signal, they look for their missing amino acids. But if you're taking L-carnitine, which all the research says you need L-carnitine for your heart, and you can find stacks of information, and you can find alternative medical doctors that use L-carnitine. But there's a problem. L-carnitine will not fit in the cell. It has to be broken down to acetyl-carnitine. So if you're taking L-carnitine, it not only won't fit in the cell, it'll go back to the liver, clog the liver, and cause heart problems and cause memory problems. So at night, if these mother cells don't find what they need and it's small enough to get in the cell and has the right carriers, because methylcobalamin needs carriers. You can't just take B12 broken down. Now, some vitamin companies know that, so they won't break B12 down. They said it revs up your engine when your parts are rusty. Well, yeah, you need the carriers. You need not only methylcobalamin. You know, you need the other Bs and every piece of them broken down to get in the cell. So if the mother cell finds everything she needs, she has two fully fed babies, and guess what? Your virus won't have a host if all the cells are fed. A virus needs a host. It needs a sticky, defective cell to proliferate. So you can have HIV and live to your 120 and never die of it, never have a symptom, because your cells are fed. So the 80-year-old alternative medical doctor who took the road less traveled all his life and did alternative things, but at age 79, he was a Mayo Clinic, gave him 2 days to live. His kids were there for his funeral. And basically, he was preparing to die when his son called me to come over and said, is there anything I can do? I said, well, I don't know. But only the Lord knows, you know, when you're going to live and when you're going to die. The best we can do is feed your cells. And if you can birth healthy cells tomorrow morning, if we can get the good cells ahead of the bad cells, there's no reason he can't live until he's 120 disease-free. But the secret is we have to put in our bodies what feeds our cells properly. And that doctor, by the way, in 3 months was mowing his yard and was flying planes 5 years later. Very successful. And I didn't know if it'd work or not. I didn't know if we could get the good cells ahead of the bad, but I knew if we could, we'd win the war. So when those cells divide, they have to find everything they need in order to birth two healthy babies. And if they don't, then the 40 billion cells become 80 billion defective cells. And you're building deposits in your body every day of defective cells, and you don't even know it because you feel fine. And there's no test the doctor can do that will show that your cells are defective. So until it's like an iceberg underwater, when it peaks is when you have symptoms. And once you have a symptom, then you might be told, oh, you have autoimmune disease. Now we have to give you a drug to shut your immune system down because it's not acting right. It's attacking your good cells. But that's not what's happening. You have so many defective cells, it's attacking those defective cells. It's doing its job. So then you die even sooner if you take a drug to shut your immune system down, where if you support your immune system and feed your cells, then it's very possible the autoimmune will go away. And I've watched it happen over and over and over and over again with people everyone else gave up on. It goes away. You feed your cells. You eat healthy food. You make sure your food is clean and toxic-free, and you eat at the right times. You cannot eat 4 to 5 hours before bed, or you're going to rob all your nutrients from your baby cells. you get nutrients. You not only eat the right foods, and, you know, example, people think almond milk is healthy. It's like, think about it. You're a box of almond milk, really? That's healthy? It's like, what? How many preservatives does it take to keep that fresh in a box? So you have to think beyond just that I'm getting nuts. It's like, think about, how is it made? You know, what ingredients are in what you're eating? How fresh is your food? And then not only that, but is it like beans in our world today scrape the digestive system? Our beans are grown to be stored, not for nutrition. They have enzyme inhibitors. So people with digestive issues, it's very difficult. So little things my mentor has taught me that has taken me, and I'm not even going to say a step farther. I feel like a quantum leap. I just, it is so miraculous. It's just hard to comprehend. Even though I witness it in my office every day, the people that have been given up on that I've seen come to life and be well by feeding their body properly, the right food, the right supplements. And there's a group of nutrients that we all need, and we know our soil's deficient. I mean, we know the nutrients aren't there. The World Health Organization understands the huge crisis in not having the right nutrients in our soil. So we have to supplement what's missing. But when we supplement, you know, why would we supplement with polluted supplements or supplements with chemicals and preservatives in them? And that's the other piece that my mentor goes to, is that he retests after the supplement passed inspection and they say it's fine. They send it to him and he retests it to make sure it is. And he uses the equipment, because I had someone have a reaction to EPO. I told her it's $5 cheaper than the one I sold, and it said no hexanes, no chemicals, no preservatives, all organic. I said, looks good. Go ahead and take it. And she had an allergic reaction. So you would think she's allergic to primrose oil. No. What happens is after they test it, they put it through a machine with hexanes in it, so it picks it up. So the person, if I hadn't helped her already with infertility and failure to grow child and everything else, she might not have trusted me enough that I says, no, you're not allergic to primrose oil. Go back to Welltriant primrose oil and you'll be fine. And she was, because we squeeze it out into the capsule and it's made, and other companies, it sits in vats where they add chemicals and preservatives, or in the case of this company that's trying to be chemical-free, it's tested and chemical-free, then they put it through equipment that has chemicals in it. So it's tough. I have an incredible mentor that I thank the Lord for every day. His personality, anyone watches the TV show The Good Doctor, he's 70 years old, but it's the same personality and the same brain. I think he's the smartest person there is in health, and he sacrificed his life. Doesn't do anything else. His life is dedicated to helping people understand how the body heals. And if there's a supplement anywhere worth taking, then he doesn't have to make that one. But I've looked for 10 years to find something even close to the same quality, and I have not found it anywhere. A lot of people won't carry what I use because they don't make the same profit. The profit margins are low, but people take them long term, and because they get healthy. If they do the other things in combination, they recover their health. And down the road, some of them forget and see other things that are heavily marketed and advertised, and they take those things, but they come back. Because long term, if you take something that makes you feel good, it's kind of like a drug. Well, it may make you feel good short term, but long term, what's the science behind it? You know, what's the piece of it that's hurting you? We have to put in our body clean food, not only clean supplements, but supplements that are broken down properly with the right carriers to get into the cell. And there's certainly other aspects to health, spiritual, emotional, and those certainly play a part in clean air, clean water. But the basic foundation of having the right nutrients and having the right energy to drive those nutrients to where they're supposed to go, which is another piece that the machine helps with. It'll take that nutrient and it'll say, go here and fix me. So it will resolve problems much quicker. I love my machine, BioScan Pro, and I use it almost every day for since 2005 on myself or my family or my clients. And I have phenomenal results with it. But most important, most critical is your lifestyle, what you're eating, what supplements you're taking. And then the machine is a phenomenal additive to drive those nutrients even deeper. People that don't have time to build their body up nutritionally, they need to get well faster. It can help that happen. People with back pain, athletes. I just had a pastor's wife from Houston who had an MRI and her knees were bone on bone. And now she ran half a marathon and she doesn't have pain. So I don't advise running. I think it's hard on the joints, but that's what she does. And she's running out. I told her 10 miles is too far. It just isn't healthy. So she's doing 3 to 5 mile races and winning when her knee was bone on bone because of BioScan Pro and Wellnutrients and a healthy diet.
Janine, we're running out of time, but I'd like the audience to know how to contact you. What's the best way to find out more about your services and how to reach you?
Well, I don't say a lot of online. There's a lot of liability, and we have to be careful with when we do alternative things. So they can reach me through my office number, which is 269-470-7262, or a website, which, I don't do much online, but it will direct you. And that website is www.quantum-health.us or bioscanpro.com website.
Thank you very much for all the good information you've shared with us today, Janine. And thank you for being our guest on the show, The Balanced Millionaire.
You are so welcome. I hope it was helpful.
Yes, we learned so much, and I hope the audience felt they were getting good value from the information from both of our guests today. Remember, if you would like to connect with me, Eileen Mendel, The Balanced Millionaire, for a complimentary chat to discuss taking your company to the next level or getting the financing you need to do so, you can contact me at www.thebalancedmillionaire.com or send me an email at info@thebalancedmillionaire.com. Also, I would love to hear your feedback about today's show as well as other shows in our archives at bbsradio.com. Take care. This is Eileen Mendel with The Balanced Millionaire.
Thank you for tuning into The Balanced Millionaire with your host, Eileen Mendel, CEO of InnerEdge International, business consultant, multimedia marketing expert, renowned speaker and author. Connect with Eileen Mendel, The Balanced Millionaire. Increase your confidence, creativity, balance, awareness, direction, motivation, and catapult your business to the next level and beyond.